TV. TV. Welcome to LKTV.
Wait a second.
A podcast.
Wait.
Of the television.
Wait. First of all, let's keep our brand tight.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
We just say LKTV.
Oh.
We don't have to welcome anybody. Oh. They know they're welcome.
I assume nothing.
Everybody, you're welcome.
You're welcome.
Secondly, if we're going to continue doing it this way, at least until we get a new theme song just for this show,
mm-hmm.
Your TVs, as you speak them, should not become a novelty item.
Oh, so now you're going to dictate.
I've got notes.
After you decided you didn't like it at all,
the people listening to the show like it plenty,
suddenly you're going to tell me how this is done.
I'm still not fully on board.
I don't think so.
I'm still not fully on board with this decision.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's going to be this way,
uh-huh.
Your TVs, I believe, need to be sprightly.
And it's not your call.
Upbeat. Hang on.
I can mix it
I'm
up.
I'm going to make a point
I
here.
I can mix it up
no,
as I
I'm
see
I'm going to make a point here. The first one that you just did sounded like you were trying to sound like me.
Oh, yeah, because anybody who's speaking in a low register is automatically talking like Dave White because you copyrighted that.
I'll tell you what I did.
You own bass.
I'll tell you, though.
Bass!
How low can you go? I'll tell you, though, when people do that, when people come up to me, and I'm including you in this group here, when folks come up to me and they immediately drop their register and start saying things like, "Hey, Dave, how's it going?" Arr.
No one does that.
Oh?
They do impersonations of you. They do versions of you.
No.
But they do not, become Ralph the Crime Dog.
Yes, they do. You ain't me. You're not around every time it happens.
Fine. Well, just because I go
my world
TV does not mean I'm doing you.
My world is
Mr.
one
center of the universe.
My world is one where human beings are constantly coming up to me and they're all joshing. No, uh-huh. No one's being mean, but they all start impersonating me.
Fine, yes. Verse 3 of You're So Vain is about you.
No.
Because you think that if I'm going to speak...
This just is a thing that happens.
If I speak in a deep voice, that I'm doing a Dave White impersonation.
You're not,
and I am not.
I accept that you were not attempting to do that this time.
Uh-huh.
But you do it on a 3 to 5 times a week basis, mocking me for whatever it is I've just said or done. You do it. So, okay, so there's you, right? That's 3 to 5 times a week. Just you. Then there's all our friends who do it all the time. And I mean all the time.
Yes, I will grant you that, yes.
Aaron doesn't do it. Gary Cotti and Chris Carter do it a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Vinny Lopez invented it, for which I will always hate him. And so there's just our friends.
And Eugene Pellett does it perfectly.
And then there's more folks who, upon meeting me or describing something that I said to them, immediately begin impersonating me.
I know, but they go deeper. So
yes.
If you're impersonating them, you have to still stay in your register, because if you go deeper, it's like a copy of a copy. Like,
no one's going as deep as you are when you are going deep.
They're going as deep as you are when you speak normally.
Well, but like when Gray does it, But she just sounds like a woman who smokes when she does it.
So do you.
I don't sound like I smoke at all. But I do sound like a lovely lady.
This is fascinating.
Hang on. I'm not done with my notes yet.
We have to introduce ourselves.
We will. Oh, we'll get to it. If they're listening to this, they already know about us from the other show.
You should check out this linoleum knife. It's really funny. You'll like it. What is that show? They spent 5 minutes talking about one of them's voice. Who cares?
And then the other no was like a quizzical TV.
Well, I'm going for variety here.
I'm being nonchalant, like TV, whatever.
I'm
Kurt Cobain.
I have many colors in my paint box. They're not going to all be the same TV all the time. There could be some sad TVs.
I believe.
Some jubilant TVs.
I believe.
Some ambivalent TVs. Some quizzical TVs. Some languid TVs. Some annoyed TVs.
I've got all the annoyed TVs right here already for you right now. I'm trying to tell you that this was not your best work,
uh-huh.
And that you might go back and figure out what really did work for you in the last two or three LKTVs that we've done, because this is episode 4,
right? Well,
and make it better, keep it tight.
It's great when you give me notes, but yes. In the immortal words of Judy Garland, I don't care. I don't care. I do what I want.
My name is Dave White. I am the host of LKTV. You're Alonzo Duralde. You're the co-host of LKTV. You're also the host. I, too, am a co-host.
Yes.
We're on the same equal footing of host.
That's correct.
For also, is there anyone out there that listens to this? This is episode 4. Is there anyone out there listening to this who has not or does never listen to Linoleum Knife?
You never movie, know.
The podcast of the cinema. Cinema,
yes. Look, we...
This is a podcast of the television.
We get new listeners all the time. After doing the Stephanie Miller Happy Hour, I had several people contact me on Twitter.
Has anyone already come to us through this instead of that?
I don't know. But you never know who has ambled into this as their first episode and is already deeply regretting that choice.
And they're going to quit. Goodbye to you, then. Be gone.
I'm Alonzo Duralde. I'm the film
reviews editor. I already told them who you were.
Yes, but you didn't give me any credentials.
Oh, I see. Well, I don't have any TV credentials. I'm a film critic who has written about television, but who currently does not write about television. You're a film critic who also now...
Recaps television.
Recaps television and talks about it on What the Flick.
Right.
On the Young Turks Network.
Correct.
The Young Turks Network...
On YouTube.
We're going to talk about television shows.
We are.
I just dozed off 3 times
yes.
while watching with Bob and David.
So, okay, you now will fall asleep on the sofa watching television after dinner.
Yes.
And in the middle of the afternoon.
After lunch.
So.
Sometimes also after breakfast. It doesn't matter. If you're not engaging me.
You're a soft touch.
I might doze off. You know, I'll snap out of it after a minute.
Mm.
It's never very long. The sketch you're doing in your sketch comedy program will probably still be happening. But you lost me for 60 seconds into a...
An inky void.
A blissful dream state.
So while your eyeballs were twitching, I watched all of With Bob and David... which is the...
How was your 25 minutes versus my 20-ish?
I think you pretty much nailed it when it was done, which is that it seems like it...
Oh, I nail it.
Sometimes. It seems like it was plucked directly from their 90s output. Like, yeah. they could have made this show the day after Mr. Show ended on HBO. It is, and if you're a fan of Mr. Show and you wanted more of exactly that thing.
I was a fan of Mr. Show.
You want more of exactly that thing as though time had not passed in the last dozen plus years.
16 exactly is what they say.
16 years, right. They kept saying 16. Then Mr. Show, with Bob and Dave delivers. It is Mr. Show Redux. And they're still good at that, and it's entertaining. They've got the old band together again, you know, Paul F. Tompkins and Brian Posehn and all them folks.
The guy who played the cop and Sarah Silverman, whose name I can never remember.
That guy, Paget Brewster. But yeah, it's been 16 years, and comedy has moved on. So it's like popping in an old Mr. Show DVD or like watching an old Kids in the Hall on Comedy Central. It's still funny, but it is now kind of funny of a period.
Yeah.
And they are just, they're sticking to it.
I have seen all of those people go on to do other things.
Yeah.
That were...
Better Call Saul is a great show, and it involves real acting not just wackiness, but
Brian
real
Posehn,
dramatic acting.
Brian Posehn and the guy who
the
played
tall
the,
guy.
Guy who played the cop on Sarah Silverman, they were both on
the Sarah Silverman program. David Cross did Arrested Development
and Chipmunks movies.
And the Chipmunks movies. And you know, he played Bob Dylan. He played Allen Ginsberg and Allen Ginsberg's father in two different movies.
And has, I've heard, his stand-up since then.
Sure.
As well. All of it. All of these things that we have just talked about have made me laugh. I did not laugh one time with Bob and David. I smiled.
Yeah, it's
true. I smiled because I like these people. I smiled because I... Because
there were some clever ideas, and the setups were kind of amusing. That's true. I smiled. I don't know that I laughed at all.
And I'm not a comedian. I'm not a stand-up. And so I just know what gets me and what doesn't get me.
Sure. It seems weirdly like fan service in a way. Like,
I want...
For those of you who were dying for this show to come back and didn't want it to be remotely different or of its era, but exactly what it used to be... Here you go.
If you're watching this and you're going to keep watching the whole four or five episodes that they've made, let me know if it, you know.
I might check another one out.
Let me know if it changes. I have a feeling, though, that, you know, the world is a little different now. Comedy is a little different now.
Yeah.
That absurdist 90s style of comedy, which felt so fresh with Mr. Show. And sketches from that, which I will continue to revisit, and they always still make me laugh.
Are they the ones that did Coupon the movie?
I don't remember. I like that stuff. But I also know that, you know, we have Broad City now.
Right.
And Tim and Eric. And
Amy Schumer.
And Amy Schumer. I think Amy Schumer might fit best in their world.
I guess. I mean, her stuff is smart and it's funny, but it's not necessarily moving the goalposts forward.
You know? I feel like some of the you know, Eric Andre.
Yeah.
People you largely don't find appealing. I really think they are pushing. And
because you're down with the young people.
Yes. Then if that's accusatory, fine. I'm down with the young people. I feel like that next wave of younger comics, they are shaping things differently. They are coming around the outside somehow. They are pushing the form a little bit. Not radically, but they are twisting it in ways that fit them and they fit this moment.
There's even been like the Lonely Island since these guys, right. I think. Yeah.
And so I don't want to diss them.
No.
That's not because I don't have... I have no right, honestly, to diss them. You know, I just... It's not fully working for me. Yet. Maybe it will.
Yeah, maybe they're just a little rusty. I don't know.
On the other hand, we have just watched the first episode of Master of None.
Also on Netflix.
The Aziz Ansari show.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's brilliant.
It's really smart.
I think it's really funny.
And very funny. It feels
Louis-ish.
It's very Louis influenced, I would say.
Yeah. But not entirely, because Louis is sad.
True.
Aziz is not sad.
No.
And you can't. They're two entirely different human beings. It's simply a show that has a more documentary-like feel to it in terms of its filmmaking.
Mm-hmm.
It's following him around New York in the same way that Louis follows Louis around.
Right, but I think there's a certain wryness to it. There's a certain, you know, man-child quality to it, just in terms of, you know, someone who is reluctantly facing the realities of getting older, but sort of chafing against them whenever possible.
You're talking about the Aziz show.
The Aziz more so than Louis, but Louis has some of that too, I think.
Oh, I don't see that in Louis at all. I see Louis as a show decidedly about middle age and the garbaginess of that.
It is, but at the same time, you always get the impression that he wants to still do the crazy stuff that he used to do. And then when he does it or does some semblance of it, it always backfires horribly.
Can you be specific? Because I'm really not following.
I think of episodes where, like, what was the whole thing with the drug dealer who was, like, throwing the garbage can out of his window or whatever? Like, I feel like there are moments in that show where he wants to do something youthful and reckless, you know, like buying the motorcycle, say, or whatever. And a lot of times, when he tries to indulge in that, and then it's like, no, you're too old for this. Like, it's
okay, but I don't feel like that's the thrust of the show. That's just those are side notes.
It's a flavor.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it's the main thing. I mean, you're right. It is more the central conflict or whatever of Aziz's show.
Aziz's show.
Of Master of None.
I am a big fan of Eric Wareheim, and there he is in the Aziz show.
You know, it's funny. Tim and Eric get on my nerves, but I do like stuff I've seen Eric Wareheim in on his own. Like, he was in that movie Reality, that Quentin Dupieux movie.
Right.
And I thought it was very funny in that.
Say that name again.
Quentin Dupieux.
Quentin Dupieux.
Dupieux. I love the idea that there is a movie that co-stars Elodie Boucher and Eric Wareheim. yeah, he's funny on this. Maria Dizia pops up, who's an actress who just keeps kind of sneaking up on me and things. And I'm like, she's one of those people that I have learned her name now because she was in While We're Young. She was in True Story. She was in Martha, Marcy, May, Marlene. She's become one of those, that person, you know. So obviously they're...
In 10 years, she'll have an Emmy.
Exactly.
Right.
So they're he's clearly working with
That's always how it goes with the oh her.
Yeah, Mary Louise Parker was an oh her.
The character actress person who eventually finds a leading role for themselves.
Somewhere. Right. They're not going to build something
in a cool show that wins Emmy.
Exactly. They're not going to build a I'm young and pretty vehicle about her, but they are going to build I'm an attractive attorney.
Smart,
you know,
yeah, right.
With a dark side. You know, that yes, absolutely. She'll have an Emmy.
She won't be Courtney Thorne Smith.
No. No. She'll be Mary Louise Parker.
Right.
And that's who you want to be.
Right.
In the long run.
I mean, Courtney Thorne Smith, I'm sure, is super happy.
Yeah, I'm sure the according to gym checks, you know, came in nicely.
Well, she gets to be on TV commercials for different items.
Does she?
Yeah.
Oh, I skip commercials.
Like,
I don't know.
You know, for like bread and stuff. You know what I mean? Like, this bread is so good. You know, like.
Courtney Thorne Smith for bread.
You don't watch commercials
from the American Bread Council.
I've just seen her in ads. I've seen Courtney Thorne Smith in ads.
All right,
and I'm sure it's like, you know, Neutrogena. It's actually what it probably is. But like, it's
she's She's eternally dewy.
I would love
Courtney
to.
Thorne's
I bread. Would love to see her in ads for bread. This bread is so delicious. I can't finish putting this bread in my mouth. I'm never going to stop putting the bread in my mouth. I'm Courtney Thorne Smith.
That's exactly what the script would be.
For bread.
Okay.
That's what should happen.
Get on it, American Bread Council. Hire Courtney Thorne.
No, you know the bread commercial should be? It should be Neovar Dallas.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, and the reason is because that she gave the Advocate back in the day when you interviewed her for the Advocate.
Yeah.
She gave the Advocate the world's greatest quote that has ever appeared in a magazine. Or much less The Advocate. It's the greatest quote that's ever appeared in The Advocate by far. It may be the greatest quote that's ever appeared in a magazine.
Take that, Larry Kramer.
And she said...
This was after making Connie and Carla, where she was having
She and Toni Collette
played women who had to pretend to be drag queens.
Pretend to be drag queens to sing in clubs or something like that.
And to hide out from the mob.
To hide out from the mob.
And so...
A completely stupid movie that is... Delightful.
It's fun on TBS.
Yeah.
Like, if you watch it with commercial interruptions, it's a lot more fun.
No. It's kind of a delight. It's idiotic, but funny. Anyway, she's in The Advocate, and she said...
She talked about how she had to, you know, diet and exercise to wear all these sort of outrageous outfits for the movie.
Right.
And so when it was over, she just wanted to lay on the beach in a muumuu and say, oh, is that building over there made out of bread? Please shove it into my mouth.
Shove it down my throat.
Shove it down my throat.
And from that moment on...
We kind of love Neovar Dallas.
First of all, it makes me love Neovar Dallas. Secondly, it makes me want to encounter a building made entirely of bread. Because I would walk up to it and just put my mouth on it and be like...
What if like Courtney Thorne Smith were in the building?
Chewing on the side, like on the corner. Like take a bite out of the corner of a building.
Because it would be crusty.
The crusty bit made of bread. And it would squirt butter out of its window. Courtney Thorne Smith would not be inside the bread. She would be standing outside the building of bread, saying, beckoning people, come, look, it's a building made
perhaps,
of bread.
Perhaps she would be handing out jelly packets.
Jelly is really for Ritz crackers.
Well, not or a you like it on a
or toast
on a breakfast biscuit.
I like it on a breakfast biscuit if there's a fried little piece of chicken in there, too. Mm-hmm. But I like it. Are we talking about TV now?
Let's go back to talking about the station a long time ago.
Let's go back to talking about television.
I don't even know how we got to Courtney Thorne Smith. But anyway, yeah, so the Aziz Ansari show is really funny, and we're definitely going to be watching more of it based on the first episode.
Oh, yeah, totally.
That was great.
Totally watching... All the rest of it.
Yes.
Like, I'm on board that right now.
And Jessica Jones starts, I think, Friday, and
I'm done with Supergirl.
We talked about that last time.
The end. No, but I'm real done with it now. I talked about maybe leaving Supergirl, but I've left her.
Okay, fine.
You can circle back around
in a couple months and see how that's coming along.
So I guess what we've now established... For the format of this show is that we're not going to recap the same shows every week.
Not necessarily.
Unless we feel like it.
Unless we're caught up. I have not
watched. We're going to do exactly as we please.
Pretty much, yes.
Yes.
I have not watched An Affair since last episode because we were in Napa.
We're also behind on Ash because of Napa.
Yes. But we've seen other things that we're going to talk about. Namely, we are continuing our gallivant through the world of... Christmas episode.
It's a gallivant.
Yes. Not to be confused with the show Gallivant, who has a guy on it who's now dating Kylie Minogue.
True. What is his name? Joshua something.
I don't even know. Are you gonna watch that show now just to see him?
No.
Okay, just checking.
I don't care about him.
I don't know what kind of fan you are. I don't know. Some people would do that.
Why would I care about him? Is he singing me songs?
He is cozying up to the lady who does. Oh, I don't know.
The thing in the...
Yeah. Okay. Turn your...
All right.
Mute your laptop.
The no, here's the deal. Unless he is joining some noise band, then I don't care.
What if she does a Jason Donovan-style duet with him?
If does he sing?
I don't know. Did Jason?
Ish. Jason Donovan sang. Sort of. No, I don't care about Kylie adjacent people.
All right, I don't
except
know.
Except Danny.
Well, sure. I cannot wait to get that Christmas album.
That Christmas album is going to be dope.
Yes.
My thing with Kylie Minogue is that she is the part of my life that is about, the part of my musical listening life that is about
good times.
Unalloyed happiness.
Right.
And good times. Which you need. You cannot be all harsh noise, brutal metal, angry punk rock, hardcore, blah, all the time. That is no way to live life. That's like eating a bread building every day.
Bread buildings are a sometimes treat.
You need other foods every day. You need a vegetable. You need a building made of meat. You need, or unless you are vegan, you need protein objects, fire hydrants.
You need a car made out of soy.
You need a soy car. So Kylie Minogue is just sort of like the icing on a cupcake.
I see.
She's also the cupcake.
I was going to say, who are we
kidding?
She's
the cupcake and the icing. Anyway, and I don't care about her boyfriend because she runs through him.
It's true.
Like, she does not have time to let the grass grow under her feet.
Yeah, last I knew it was Olivier Martinez, and then he made tracks. So,
you know. No, he made tracks and went on to Halle Berry, and then they're already done.
Oh, really?
Wow. Yeah.
Okay.
He's done with her now, too.
This is what I get. I don't watch Wendy Williams, so I don't get all this sort of
info. Just stick with me. Know. I'll tell you who's dating who. I know all about who's dating who, thanks to Wendy Williams.
Gotcha. Christmas episodes. Specials. Yes.
Woo. So the thing we did last week was we started watching old Christmas episodes of vintage TV programs.
Right. Not specials.
Not TV stuff. Christmas specials. That. But the episodes of Christmas, the episodes of regular television programs that were Christmas themed. And the DVR is picking them up like a slew, like a boatload of them.
Incidentally, speaking of TV specials, I know we've had some listeners who have responded favorably to our mentions of Get TV.
And Cozy TV. Right.
Get TV is pulling out the stops.
Yeah, they are.
On the Christmas this year. They are doing the Judy Garland Christmas and several Andy Williams Christmas specials. They're doing Sonny and Cher and Mitzi Gaynor and just, you know, a lot of 60s and 70s Christmas specials. So check your local listings.
Yes.
But in the meantime, we're watching these terrible other shows.
The Facts of Life.
And this is season 7 Facts of Life.
This is so George Clooney and Mackenzie Astin.
This is, the George Clooney years. Yeah. They're all dressing like the Golden Girls already, even though they're ostensibly in their 20s.
They're in their young 20s or late teens or
whatever. That was a really...
They're not at the school anymore. They're at some candy shop or something.
Yeah, they all have the candy shop thing. And
where they all work and they live there, too. Yeah, and no one has a family or a life of their own.
And they've all... what was going on in 80s fashions? Were they all that dowdy and matronly, or was this just the choice of the Facts of Life creative team?
I think television sitcoms, which are always regressive.
Mumsy.
Yeah. There's never anything radical or daring happening on a regular multi-camera sitcom.
Right.
Recorded live in front of a studio audience, especially not one...
In season 7.
Of an 80s, teen show.
Right.
So the outfits are definitely going to be really conservative.
Yeah.
And they were.
I mean, I remember...
But that's not what this...
I remember the Laura Ashley period. But
right.
This is something else.
Entirely... Yeah, this is that...
Glittery sweaters.
Yeah, sparkly sweaters, post-dynasty sort of filtered down through the world into the mall.
Yeah, like sort of broad-shouldered jumpers with big brooches on them.
Right. So this Facts of Life episode is called Christmas Baby.
Mm.
And it's narrated by a fetus.
Yeah. For no good reason. Like, there's no payoff.
It's an unborn child in the womb.
Were the Look Who's Talking movies hot narrating then, perhaps? This episode. Is that what that was about? Or did those come later?
I don't know. But it reminded me of Love the Coopers in the way that it was being narrated.
Yeah, but at least they tell you up front on this one
right.
Who it is.
Hi, I'm the unborn baby narrating this Christmas episode.
Yes.
The entire episode is about Blair's mother.
Who's got having a change of life baby.
Who's basically. A New York socialite.
Yeah.
Comes to the candy store to have the baby. I don't understand
she
why.
She comes to Peekskill to visit.
Right. Why Blair doesn't take the day off and go to New York?
Yeah, well, since her mom's in her third trimester.
Rich mother. Her mother's like 8 months pregnant. But mom's got to come to the candy shop.
Yeah.
To visit her. And then she has the baby on Christmas Eve and they all go to the hospital and they all sing.
It Came Upon a Midnight Clear.
It Came Upon a Midnight Clear. The end. That's the episode.
Basically.
It's worthless.
There's a lot of I forget how terrible sitcoms got, and I guess probably still are, but just the things that are barely jokes being delivered as these ta da ta da ta lines and right. the laugh track going insane.
Right.
And it's like, is that even a joke in there? Like, I can't even tell.
People make good livings writing for these shows.
Paul Haggis made a good living writing for this show.
Yeah.
He was like the executive producer or something. Yeah.
The Clooney's in this one, obviously, with his mullet and his grin. Boy, that man never stopped smiling.
Yeah, he had not grown into his head yet. His head did not look good on television until ER.
And the other girls, they have nothing else to do except hang out there for Christmas at the candy shop. Natalie's supposed to go skiing. She never goes skiing.
Right. She was supposed to go skiing with Regina King from 227.
Yeah.
They got canceled.
Tootie's supposed to be doing, I don't know what, leaving town for something.
It beats me.
But then the baby starts coming and they all like, we're having a baby for Christmas. And I'm like, none of y'all are having a baby. Your friend's mother, who you barely know, is having a baby. Go away.
Meanwhile, again, this is one of those TV tropes that kind of drives me crazy. Like when somebody would get married on Glee, like one of the adults, and all the kids would be at the wedding and singing at the wedding. And then it's like, don't you have adult friends? Is there nobody else in Blair's mother's life besides Blair and her like loser candy store Peekskill friends?
You know, Mackenzie Astin jumping around in the Santa Claus outfit, like, where are your parents?
Yeah.
Whose parents are you?
I've never understood
where did that kid come from?
I thought he came in with Cloris Leachman, but apparently no. He was there for the Charlotte Ray period as well.
Yeah.
But I don't care nearly enough to look up who he was or why. I stopped watching The Facts of Life after they got rid of Molly Ringwald, basically.
No,
that's not true. I saw some of the Cousin Jerry episodes.
I actually watched The Facts of Life for a few seasons, like fairly regularly.
But like not
it
past,
was on, and
but
I,
not post them and being in high school, right?
No. By the time they were,
I think I saw one college episode and was like, "Yeah, we're done."
I somehow magically saw the El DeBarge episode.
Oh, we looked for that. Oh, you saw it when it came
when
on?
When it aired.
Oh, okay, because years later, I remember that was a TiVo search thing. I put Facts of Life plus El DeBarge.
I don't know how that happened or why, but I was there to witness that in real time.
If you've never seen the El DeBarge episode of Life, wow.
It's fantastic.
Because it is...
It's the greatest episode of that show.
It's not only their sort of baseline level giant shoulder pads 80s fashion, but they actually put on outfits to become the backing band known as Sexy Lingerie in the hopes that they can perform with the great El DeBarge.
Not to be confused with the group that Elizabeth Berkley and Tiffany Thiessen and the other ones.
Rain something?
In Saved by the Bell, their girl group name was Hot Sunday.
With an E or a
like
Y?
An A-E. Yeah, oh, like yeah. A, yeah.
So, basically a glass of warm milk. We'll put you to sleep.
The
yeah, this the, and okay, I've had this complaint that the thing that bugs me about the Get TVs and the cozies, and maybe not the cozies, I can't remember. But they don't reframe these old TV shows for new TVs. You know, old TV shows were square like old TVs, and now TVs are all rectangular. And if you don't leave black space on either side of the image, you're cutting off the top and the bottom. It's sort of like the opposite of the letterboxing problem. And I understand that Cozy TV is probably aiming at an audience that still has their old square TV.
They still have those big, deep TVs.
So, you know, yeah. Fine. The rest of us just have to deal with it. But we watched Facts of Life on Logo.
Oh, someone's at the door.
One moment.
You want to get...
It was very important that we take delivery on our Jurassic World screeners. As somebody tweeted last week, that screenplay is 120 pages of, we'll fix it in post.
Right. So the
So Logo is also chopping off the top and bottom of the screen to run old Facts of Life episodes, and I thought their demo was maybe a little younger than Cozy TVs, but I could be wrong.
Well, you know, gays want to watch Facts of Life.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure, we all do.
I don't know. I don't.
I was being sarcastic.
This episode smells of something to me.
Oh, you mean the mention of the Lord?
Yes. This episode smells like what happens as a sitcom or any show really is in its later seasons, and the stars
start throwing their weight around.
They begin bugging the producers and saying things like, "I have story ideas," and I have a feeling that this is a Lisa Welchel jam because it's being narrated by an unborn child.
I was thinking about that too,
and it is. There's a spot in the middle of the script where
Blair wants to pray for her mother, but hasn't done it in so long that she feels weird about doing
it. She's a snooty secular socialite.
Yes. But, unlike Lisa Welch.
But unlike the way she was early in the show. Like, early seasons, Blair was a snoot.
Like, she was like the villain.
Yeah. She was not always nice. She was a pain.
Yeah.
And she nicened up over time.
Right.
And
in the way that all long-running sitcom characters do.
Yeah.
Their rough edges get sanded away.
And so Mrs. Garrett's like, God will hear you. It's like an episode of Davy and Goliath all of a sudden.
Gosh.
And at this point in Lisa Welchel's career, she had already recorded one or two Christian pop albums that were not, you know, good. And, and I say this as someone who back in that era was still sort of involved in the church and would read reviews of these kinds of records from time to time in the Christian music press. Mm-hmm. And they hated her records, too.
So she was not sweeping the dove.
She was not, yeah. Amy Grant was like, oh, that's so nice that you made a record.
Like, keep your day job.
Go away. Go away. You go over there. I'm Amy Grant.
You could do your little sitcom.
Yeah. The baby looked fake.
Yeah, you were convinced it was a fake baby until it finally moved.
I'm not convinced it wasn't a little animatronic thing.
Please. That show did not have a budget for animatronic baby. And I'm sure the tech for that sort of thing in 1980, whatever season this thing was.
Right. It just looked good. It looked like a fake baby. So that's a bad episode. A good episode, though, is G.I. Joe, an American Hero. The animated children's garbage show.
The toy-selling half hour.
G.I. Joe, an American Hero, had an episode called Cobra Claws Are Coming to Town.
C-L-A-W-S.
So the Joes are taking a sleigh full of it's a truck full of toys.
To the children's hospital.
And teddy bears. Like, anyone who gives a teddy bear to the children's hospital toy drive is a horrible person. Because, you know, the kid already has a teddy bear somewhere. No child gets excited over a teddy bear. A teddy bear is part of the world you come into. Like, when you come home from the hospital and you come to your little baby room,
it's there waiting.
Someone already has a teddy bear there waiting for you. No child runs around going, I really want that teddy bear, Mom and Dad. You better get me that teddy bear.
Well, maybe some impoverished child in the children's hospital didn't have one.
Perhaps.
Although the fact that they were carrying it around in the snow in an open air truck,
yeah,
that's not good.
Getting all the weather on it and everything, yeah. So then the parrot, they have a talking, singing parrot that doesn't need a prompt.
No.
It just invents its own things to say.
It seems to be able to communicate, not just repeat.
Yeah. The parrot sings through the entire episode. It even sings when they shoot it up to supersize with the electronical reducer enlarger machine.
Is it electronical? I thought it was molecular.
Whatever.
It's a molecular enlarger reducer.
I like electronical better.
Fine.
And it gets big, huge, so that it can intercept the Cobra missiles that are going to be dropped on the town.
In Keystone City, in a
Christmas terrorism act.
Right.
And that they've already decided to enlist one of the Joes and brainwash him into doing their bidding.
No. There's one of the...
No. It was... They didn't...
The Cobra guy was a master of disguise.
A Cobra guy master of disguise. Sorry.
Get it right, Dave White.
Look, I was doing housework. I watched it. I'm surprised I remember this much.
So who was the guy who was complaining that his parents made such a big deal about Christmas that they didn't pay attention to him as a child?
Yeah,
I'm still wrapping my head around that one.
That was... which one was that? It wasn't...
Switchfoot Nickelback? I don't know. They all got dopey nicknames. Three Doors Down? I don't know.
No. Shipwreck was the sailor who, when the Cobra captures him, and they hang him up in a meat locker on a hook, he turns to Cover Girl and says, "Me and this side of beef could have a meaningful relationship."
And then he proceeds to wrap his legs around it.
He wraps his legs around it and starts sort of like gyrating, moving around on it, which doesn't...
And you're thinking, oh, we're being held prisoner. This is really a time for that?
And she says, "You're being ridiculous." And he said, "Use your imagination." And I was like... It's Christmas. Stop humping the side of beef. Not that I disagree with you. You could develop a meaningful relationship.
Well, maybe he'd always fantasized about a building made of meat, and this was as close as he was going to get.
I suppose. Shipwreck and I could have something in common.
It turns out it's all part of his plot to escape.
Right.
And then, yeah, the parrot becomes giant-sized.
This all happens because Cobra has infiltrated the toy truck.
Oh, right, with a Trojan rocking horse.
With a Trojan rocking horse that has laser eyes.
Yes.
And out come the Cobra soldiers. Like they
little tiny, yeah.
Spring out of it.
So toys are deadly in a cartoon that is designed to sell you toys.
But it's okay because the Joes...
Save the day.
Kill everyone.
I mean, yes.
Here's what I like about the G.I. Joe TV cartoon. So much violence. Everything is exploding. There's no problem that can't be solved. No problem that should be solved with anything less than
shooting at it.
Maximum firepower. And I approve. It teaches children a valuable lesson about action entertainment. That it should have action. Lots and lots of action. And G.I. Joe, an American hero, or a real American hero, I don't even know what the name of the show is. That show has action.
I was a little...
And this is great Christmas-themed violence.
I was dismayed that the show had a story credit from Roy Thomas and his wife. Roy Thomas being one of the sort of legends of Marvel and DC Comics. And then the script by Jerry Conway and I think his wife. And again, these are like two... comic book writers of the sort of the superhero pantheon when you're looking back at the 60s and 70s.
Right.
And then I guess the real money was in writing this utter drivel for television.
Yeah.
Because this was terrible.
Well, I mean, how, honestly.
They weren't making any money at Marvel.
How much work do you think they had to put into this? Like, they could have other gigs.
Yeah. Once you set up a macro in your word processor for pew, 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 you know, you've gotten most of a script written by there.
So the, what was that? Something just buzzed.
Your phone.
Yeah. So it's, yeah, Don't watch the Facts of Life Christmas Baby episode. Watch G.I. Joe, A Real American Hero, Cobra Claws Are Coming to Town Christmas episode.
If those are the two choices on Earth...
Those are the two choices.
Then
the game is pick one.
Okay, then the game... Then I would pick the G.I. Joe one. They're both dreadful in their own ways.
Says...
Me.
You.
Yeah, I says it.
All right. We still have not watched Mr. Robot, even though everyone urges us to do this each week.
Yes.
However... I got to see The Great British Baking Show for the first time.
Yes, after two letters about it, and I want to see it. I just haven't had time yet.
I am very much in love.
Now, Netflix has season one?
The entirety of season one.
Okay.
But the show is in, like, its fifth or sixth season.
I see.
The episode I saw was from this most recent episode.
I see.
Most recent season.
Series.
Whatever. And
British people talk.
And I watched, I think I watched the finale because they gave somebody their engraved cake pedestal at the end.
Oh, they don't do that once a week? Like there's
no,
the entire like a, season the is entire for one
season
cake stand?
The entire season is for one engraved cake pedestal.
Okay.
And for the, you know, the bragging.
Well, right? Sure.
Of saying, look what I did. You know.
I won the Great British Baking
Show.
Show.
Look, if I lived there, I'd be jumping to be on that show. I would fail miserably because these people are technically amateurs because they do not work in the food industry.
Mm-hmm.
But they're way more advanced than I am. They're creating things.
You could learn.
Like they one of their challenges was to create you know those loaf pies that they like to eat over there?
No.
Where it's like a meat kind of pie and you slice it and it's got meat in it, but it's got basically it's a pie. It's in a loaf pan.
Mm-hmm.
All right. But it's got pie crust, the entire thing, and then a covering of pie crust.
I've never seen this.
And it's like a meat pie and you take it out of the loaf pan and you slice it like it's a big chunk of bread. But
so like it's a Wellington sort of.
Yeah, ish. Ish.
Now, is the inside solid?
It depends. Like this, they all had to make a striated sort of layered.
So when you slice it, it all comes together. You don't just have like a slice of crust with all this goo washing all over the place, right?
It all stays together.
I see.
And I've never made one of those. I've eaten a couple, two or three slices of that kind of thing, but it was literally 26 years ago. Because you don't get that really here in this
country. Like if I made a meatloaf, but it just had a crust.
Would you?
If you'll make the crust, sure.
Yeah.
All right.
That would be essentially what this is.
Can we make a building?
Well, let's start with the one. Loan, the
okay,
loan.
Fair enough.
It would be our first collaboration.
Yeah, you're right.
But you would be in there and I would be out here with the crust.
Fine.
Because I can't be near you. In the kitchen.
Nor are you.
You're a disaster. And I have to not be near you. I come in and hold things for you if you're doing something and you're stressing out, which is every time. And I'm not saying you're a disaster as a cook. You're a disaster of nerves. You're a disaster of self-defeat.
Mm-hmm.
You don't believe in yourself in the kitchen. If you only believe in yourself,
well, okay, then,
you will not be any better than you are. However, you will not freak out about it so much.
Fine. Then you need to believe in yourself when you're reading the map on the phone.
The phone is not my friend with the map. Quit moving the goalposts.
Very well. So, Great British Bake Off.
It is...
They made meatloaf.
It is crust so pie. Well. No. They didn't make meatloaf. They made meat pies.
Meat pies.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Then they made a wedding cake. Mm-hmm. Then they made pretzels.
You've made a wedding cake,
and they all just ruined the pretzels.
No.
But these people are these contestants are way more advanced than I am. I'm like a super novice. Like, I'm competent in the kitchen making things, cooking and baking. Mm-hmm. More cooking than baking. Like, I'm way less competent as a baker.
But you could totally learn if you did. I mean, look at our friend James, who figured out that, you know, if you make a gluten-free, you know, pastry, that you have to put in more baking powder so that it makes the bubbles that do the thing and all that chemistry that I never understand.
But it's, as a show, it is radically different in terms of a competition show.
Mm-hmm.
The
'cause everyone's nice.
The editing is different.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a frenzied style of editing. It's a much calmer style of editing. You're not being whipped around.
Did you feel like you learned anything about cooking? Because I knew that's what you like in a cooking show.
Yeah, because they talk about things you should and should not do as a baker. And that's, you don't get that ever in an American cooking competition show. You get stress.
Yeah.
And you get fighting and you get, you know, beat the clock. So
there's no Tyra Banks going, you want to be on top?
No.
No.
Okay. No. The hosts are lovely. They're funny and sweet. The judges are kind. The other contestants are kind. You're absolutely right. Everyone's nice. There's no one being cast as sort of a person who stirs things up or is mean.
Except when they're literally stirring things up.
Right. But no villains.
Right.
And which I don't, you know what? I don't mind a villain.
Sure.
I don't want a villain in a competition show. I don't want fighting so much in a competition show. I want the competition.
A good villain in a competition show. I mean, come on. Like
Runway.
They had some good villains.
But they weren't in Project Runway and Model, you know,
this is my signature walk, the walk that's going to make me famous.
What I'm saying is I don't hate a villain in a competition show, but I don't need one, and I would prefer if it's a contest of skill.
Sure.
I would like to learn about that thing.
Well, yeah, no, yeah. Totally.
Rather than follow the human drama.
The way we
that's
all...
That's being constructed for me
right.
out of bits and pieces of things that might not actually be real drama.
Sure. The way we all learned about smizing.
Right. I can't...
And gross grain covered seam allowances.
I can't smize.
You could.
No, I can't. I can't make one half of my face do one thing and the other half of my face do another thing.
Can you rub your tummy and pat your head?
Not. Well,
let's start there to work our way to the details.
I just, you know, that whole sort of like when I'm trying to smize,
you look like an anime character.
I look like Wednesday Addams when she's trying to smile
in Addams Family Values. Yeah. Yes, a great Thanksgiving movie, by the way.
Yes, there is a Thanksgiving special. That you should try to watch.
The King Family Thanksgiving
that
special?
That is the King Family Thanksgiving special.
It is on DVD.
Hang on. I'm going to read something to you.
Okay.
A thing that I wrote.
Oh, right. Yes.
Last year, Rotten Tomatoes had me do a listicle.
Right.
Of Thanksgiving-themed specials.
Yes.
Which are rare
yes.
today, and they weren't even that plentiful back in the day. But I wrote about the King Family Thanksgiving special, highlights of which are on YouTube, and there is a DVD available out in the world.
It's part of, I think, one of the Christmas
DVDs. Here's what I wrote about them. This is the family Don Draper was talking about in his Kodak Carousel pitch. What's interesting about this squeaky clean, real-life army of blonde song warriors is how total their domination of the culture was back in their era, and how not discussed they are now. What happened? Are the baby boomers embarrassed that they watched and genuinely enjoyed this truly happy bunch as they sang and danced all over television? Granted, the Kings weren't exactly cool then either, but they stayed on message and they delivered, even while dancing to Turkey in the Straw in Bob Mackie costumes, even while selling a number about the joys of group milking a cow. Just released on DVD, you need to see this. These folks were having a kind of bizarre fun that eluded even the most far out of hippies.
And it's true.
Fairly encapsulates the King family Thanksgiving special.
Yes.
Do seek it out. They were a weird bunch of blonde people.
Yes, they were. They were the Osmonds 1.0.
And here's where they really killed it: the Christmas special.
Oh yeah,
those Christmas specials are
works of art.
Yeah, they are works of art. They're dazzlingly corny,
mm-hmm.
in a way that I find really delightful, even now.
They commit. Because when people try to do TV specials or like holiday specials now, there's always this veneer of irony of sort of winking like, oh, we used to do this and yeah. now we realize how stupid it was or whatever. They do it and they do it hard, even if it means that, you know, cousins are singing love songs to each other. They don't care. They are in it to win it, those Kings.
Do you have a recommendation?
Gosh, I didn't even think about it.
Because I have a commercial.
Okay. What do you got?
This is not a commercial that's currently on television. This is a commercial that you will find on YouTube. And it is a real commercial, a local commercial, for Harrelson Toyota. Wherever Harrelson Toyota is, I don't exactly know. It's on the I-77. Take exit 82C. I do know that. They were having a sale in month of May. Lifetime warranty for the entire month of May. And the tagline for this commercial is that they are the number one butt satisfier. Because, you know, you're riding around in the car. It's got to feel nice on your butt
mm-hmm.
to ride around in a car. We just drove back from Napa all the way down to Los Angeles. And by the time I was out of that rental car, that Kia.
Well, you wanted the Kia.
Which was fine. It was a fine car. It got us where we needed to go, and it did it well. My butt hurt. I was in a butt-hurting mood. I wasn't butt-hurt, but my
but butt was hurting.
But my butt did hurt. And I thought about this commercial as I was driving, and my butt was hurting. I thought, I need a car that's a butt satisfier, like in that commercial. I've been a fan of this commercial for a while. And I like to share it with people whenever I can. So now I'm sharing it with you. You go to YouTube, type in number one butt satisfier.
I will.
Harrelson Toyota is the number one butt satisfier, and you will delight in this commercial.
I'll post a link
yes.
on our Facebook page. okay, you know, I'm going to say that my pick of the week is Better Call Saul season one. It is about to come out, or it just came out, and apparently, while it was very well reviewed and people dug it, the numbers were not great on that show, and I thought it was amazing. It's a prequel to Breaking Bad. It's about the early years of lawyer Saul Goodman, who's played by Bob Odenkirk, whose new Netflix show we talked about earlier. And just a smart show with very unusual characters we don't usually get on television. And just a great, great show that people need to see.
Letters. This is from Jim.
Mm-hmm.
If you've never seen it before, I recommend you set aside some time for the Dragnet Christmas episode, Big Little Jesus. A script Jack Webb loved so much that he used it three times.
Wow.
On the radio version of the show in the 1950s, the TV show, and the 60s version. Amusingly, he was able to cast several people from the 50s TV version in the 60s remake version. Actually, that one is titled The Christmas Story. In all, the plot is exactly the same, and the dialogue is about 90% the same. It's Christmas Eve, and Friday and his partner investigate a pressing crime. A statue of the baby Jesus has been stolen from a Catholic church in a poor neighborhood. Will they be able to find it in time for the service? If you're only going to watch one, I'd say make it the 60s version, just because the story seems so weirdly outdated by then. Plus, it features a pre-Brady Bunch Greg Williams Barry Williams as an altar boy.
And Henry Morgan.
And it is on Hulu, he says.
Okay.
Yeah. He also provides a link to the 50s version and the radio version. So this is funny. There's also another Dragnet Christmas story that I think was used three times, or at least twice, called A Big 22 Rifle for Christmas. And it's surprisingly dark.
You don't say.
I'm going to go watch both of these. And he provides a link to that one as well. Also surprisingly dark, and I don't remember this being dark because I've seen this, the episode of the Jack Benny Show in which Jack tortures Mel Blanc while Christmas shopping.
Yes.
I don't find that dark at all. I find that hilarious.
The ending is dark. The ending you could never do on a sitcom today. I'm not going to say anything else.
Who cares?
It's a great episode. That has become one of my annual go-tos.
Yeah.
I
showed it to me for the first time last year. Yeah. Like, you had already seen it.
It was on a DVD that somebody gave me a couple years ago of vintage Christmas shows, and it's so funny.
It's really, really funny.
And it's all set on one floor of a department store. Yeah. Like, it never, you know, that's the entire set for the whole thing, and it's hysterical.
It features Frank... Yes.
It does indeed.
Nelson.
Yes.
Who I think came up on the show recently, right? I think so anyway.
Yes, he did.
Thank you, Jim. Totally watching those Dragnets. Dear David Alonso, this is from Brittany. Mm-hmm. I hate to be that person who brings up Mr. Robot again, but here we go. Mr. Robot is and forever will be simply a good show, not a perfect earth-shattering capsule of television everyone seems to believe it is. To me, it's most interesting on an aesthetic level. The weird synthy score, combined with odd visual framing, makes the whole thing feel a little off-kilter. It's often effectively unsettling, but great television needs more than that. On a writing level, it's not great, Bob. It's a twisty-turny thing that only tracks about 50% of the time, and a lot of the individual elements, characters, plot lines, etc., feel recycled from other things. Also, the whole fight-the-man vibe it has feels super clunky because of how the show abuses the voiceover narration. It's worth watching at some point, but I wouldn't prioritizing. I wouldn't prioritize it. Mm-hmm. Lifetime's Unreal, however, was the show of the summer.
That's what I kept hearing about, too, yes.
Love LKTV. Keep doing what you're doing, Brittany. P.S. I was one of the 20 people who watched Burn Notice. James Vaughn has sent us an entire list of British Christmas TV shows.
Right.
British Christmas TV specials.
Well...
that he thinks we should watch. Right. These are all on YouTube.
But in Britain, these are like... It's a traditional thing, I think, for series to do the Christmas episode.
Yes. No, so... so maybe it is a sitcom. These are episodes of sitcoms. Okay. Well, here's what I'll do. I'll check these out, and then if we are really jazzed about any of them, I will. But these are all shows that no one in the United States will know.
Well, Drop the Dead Donkey aired on Comedy Central for a hot minute, I remember.
Peep Show... Bottom.
Peep Show.
The Smoking Room.
Peep Show has the Mitchell and Webb, I believe.
Miranda.
Don't know that. Oh, Miranda, the woman from Spy.
Okay. And Friday Night Dinner, I do know.
Oh, yeah.
Because that aired here on, like, BBC America.
Yeah. And I love Tamsin Greek. Wait, yeah. So a show about Jews did a Christmas episode?
What?
Friday Night Dinner was about Jews. It was about Shabbos dinner every week.
Oh, you're right.
Family would have together.
It says they still celebrate Christmas anyway.
Oh, funny. All right. Yeah. I will watch that one for sure.
Something called Whistle and I'll Come to You, The Stone Tape, and The Signalman. So we have to investigate these. If you're English and you're listening to this, then you're nodding your head going, oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's it for letters.
All right. We're so, done. Yeah, I guess we are. Next week, we will be traveling again, but...
we'll be in Atlanta with the Duralde family. Yes. So both LKTV and Linoleum Knife will arrive at odd times.
Quite possibly, yes.
Not when you think they're going to arrive. We're going to do them as we can.
Yes.
We're taking our podcasting equipment on a plane all the way to Atlanta.
It's come to that.
Because... I don't know why. We're just doing that.
Because we're professionals.
Yeah.
Dang it.
You're a professional, and you're forcing me to be one.
Well, it's baby steps. All right. So, yeah, as always, we thank you for listening. Get Dave's audiobook of Exile in Guyville.
Oh, yeah, there's that.
We have fulfilled our pre-order, so now we're just selling orders.
Right.
And it's pay what you want, and you can find the PayPal link at exileinguyvillebook.tumblr.com.
Pay what you want.
Yes. And we have 10 episodes now of Linoleum Knife Presents More Linoleum Knife.
Yes.
Most recently, we have done, in honor of the new Peanuts movie, 1972's Snoopy Come Home.
Yes.
But we have also done The Poseidon Adventure, What's Up Doc, Clue, Josie and the Pussycats, Two for the Road, The Apple. Oh, man.
You know what's going to be good for you?
I did this in the car the other day, and I had all 10 of them.
I have a plan for you. You're going to put them in alphabetical order, and you're going to memorize them in
Gentlemen, did I say Gentlemen for Blondes?
I don't know.
I didn't say Gentlemen for Blondes.
You're going to memorize them in alphabetical order, or you're going to make a mnemonic out of the
fine.
But you can't make a mnemonic that's going to last for very long.
No, because we're always adding new ones.
So you're going to memorize them in alphabetical order.
So we have the 8 regular ones in our 2 Christmas episodes, Santa Claus and White Christmas. So those are $1.99 each from linoleumpodcast@gmail.com.
Yeah, push those Christmas ones, because it's Christmas now, basically.
Yes, now is the time.
Yeah.
And we're about to be recording very soon our latest Christmas episode, which is really not a Christmas episode, but it is, but it isn't, for 1988's Die Hard. So you won't want to miss that. This is a spur-of-the-moment thing.
What?
But I'm feeling generous, and it's the holidays.
Yeah.
And a lot of you out there are new listeners and maybe are not familiar with the Linoleum Knife Presents More Linoleum Knife episodes.
Yes.
We have 10 episodes. They normally go for $1.99 a piece.
Yes.
If you pay us 15 bucks.
If you pay me.
Pay me. For 15
You're just
bucks.
Just making this up right now.
I'm making this up right now.
You haven't even consulted with me.
I have
this.
Not.
What if I want all the money?
Too bad. For $14.99. I will send you all 10 Linoleum Knife Presents More Linoleum Knife episodes.
Yeah,
this is a limited time offer.
It's from now till
Thanksgiving.
That's only like a week.
All right, fine. Between now and November 30th.
Why don't we do it between now and Christmas?
Because we're going to have an 11th episode by then, and it's going to get complicated.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
So from now until
November 30th.
From now until November
30th. A limited time offer.
Yes.
That we're just inventing on the fly.
Exactly.
All right.
We will sell you all 10 Linoleum Knife Presents More Linoleum Knife episodes, even though I can't name them right now, apparently, for $14.99. So take advantage
of
this swell offer.
We started with White Christmas.
Uh-huh.
Then we did The Apple.
Right.
Then we did...
Clue.
Then we did...
Two for the Road. Josie and the Pussycats.
Yes.
And then
we did
What's Up Doc?
The Poseidon Adventure.
Gentlemen for Blondes.
Santa Claus. And Snoopy Come Home.
Okay, that's 10.
Yeah.
There you go.
Right, we did it. I was a little methodical. I went chronologically.
Well done. Well, mind. I try and do that. I try to go backwards chronologically in my head, but it never plays out right.
Do it frontwards.
Okay. And of course, speaking of this most blessed holiday season, we are offering signed copies Have Yourself a Movie Little Christmas.
Yeah, we're selling all kinds of things. You want that Have Yourself a Movie Little Christmas book so you can learn about all the Christmas movies. There are hundreds of them, and Alonzo Duralde, they wrote the whole dang book about it. It's a fun thing to read. It's informative, and he has a breezy style.
Thank you.
And you can buy it, if you're cheap, on Amazon for like a penny.
it's a book, and no one values those.
Because it's, it'll be a used copy, but in fairly good condition. But it's a 5-year-old book. It's already been remaindered. It's not out of print yet, but it's 5 years old. So you can do that. But what you want is to pay the full price, which is $16.99 plus $3 shipping, which is
$20.
$20.
More outside of the U.S.
The full retail price of this book is $17, $3 shipping. You get this version, which is our special version. It's signed to you or to whomever you have decided to gift it. By
Mr.
Duralde, the author. It is gift wrapped by me because I'm really good at that.
You are.
Also, it contains treats inside the book, literal inside the book, flat, papery, fit in a book treats that will surprise you and delight you.
Yes.
Yeah. Not extra special bits.
Not edible treats. We're not going to have melty chocolate in your book.
It's, right.
It's just little cool paper things
that items
that say Christmas.
Items that go along with this book that are themed toward the book.
Yes.
Linoleumpodcast@gmail.com. That's $20.
That's right.
So you selling that. We're selling the special bundle of episodes and my audiobook, which is a pay what you want.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there. And if you are in the Los Angeles area, on Wednesday, December 2nd, Frank DeCaro and I will be doing our second annual Movie Little Christmas in Tinseltown show as part of the Outfest West Hollywood series at the West Hollywood City Council Chambers. That'll be starting at 7:30, and we're going to have lots of fun guests talking about some of your favorite movies and TV shows related to the Christmas season, and a game show in which you can test your knowledge of TV and movie Christmas TV and movie trivia and win some fun prizes. So we hope you'll join us for that.
Okay,
and
we're done.
Yeah, we're pretty much done. So, you know, listen to all of our folks. You know them. I'll spare you all this week. I don't have it in front of me. And, you know, subscribe to us on iTunes. Leave us a nice review there. It always helps. You can find us on Stitcher Radio and Lounge.com. You can like our Facebook page and join our Facebook group
page. Now, LKTV is currently on iTunes with Linoleum Life?
Yeah, it's all part of the Linoleum Life feed. Yeah, right. Eventually this is going to become a show that only subscribers will be able to get.
We're going
to
launch that probably in December, the subscription
in the coming weeks. And, you know, follow us on Twitter and Instagram at LinoleumCast. And our email address, again, is linoleumpodcast@gmail.com. And that's where you PayPal us for all them goodies. And we will be talking to you again before Thanksgiving. So we'll catch you then.
Who's saying goodbye on the show? Is it me or you?
I am.
I did it last week because we went out of our...
No, I said goodbye.
Are you sure?
Yes. You do the film show and I do the TV show.
Oh, that's right. Okay, so say goodbye.
Goodbye.